Hello everyone. My name is Verity and I am definitely a compulsive overeater. I don't tend to get nervous about talking. I have some time in another fellowship and I know that I can only share my story and what I really love, and also that, there are so many other people. So if you don't identify with what I say, then please, stay and go to other meetings because you will find someone whose story resonates. But what I really like in the when I first came to Footsteps, which was not long ago, I've been abstinent 133 days, which is 4 months and 12 days. When I say abstinent, I mean abstinent and in recovery. So I really love that. The beginning of our meetings, the welcome, which is so warm, and then the way that it really outlines our program right at the beginning, and particularly when it reads out abstinence and recovery. I've had periods of not eating a lot in my life. My story is one of compulsive overeating and restricting, both to extreme levels. So abstinence for me, I can be on a food plan, but that means absolutely nothing when it comes to recovery. So I really like that. And I do want to welcome all the newcomers in the room. I still feel like a newcomer, and I was really desperate when I came in. It's very close, so I remember how desperate I was. I'm just really grateful that any newcomers have found their way here and are with us. Currently, I have just completed my step five in the OA program. And I thought what I would do is I would go through the steps I've taken so far, and hopefully that'll give you a clear idea of what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So when I came in at the beginning of November, I had tried to come in quite a few times beforehand. I think, like so many of us, I mean, maybe not like so many of us, but for me, my relationship with food, I was so aware of it all through my life. So I knew exactly what I weighed at various points in my life. And, when I was either at my highest weights or my lowest weights, or how fast I went down or how fast I went up, I just had an encyclopedic knowledge of my own relationship with food because it was such an obsession in my mind. And it was intrinsically linked to my self-worth. The complete lack of control that I experienced when I was in my compulsive overeating, my binging phase of that, it informed everything in my life. I used it as a form of numbing and protection. And I think looking back, I definitely put it on. It was like I put weight on as an armor almost. It was another way of keeping the world away from me. Not only because physically I became bigger, and I always say I lost myself, because I don't, I never recognize myself. I get to a point and I lose all sense of who I am. When I look in the mirror, what's looking back, it doesn't feel like me in any way, shape, or form. But also because the behaviors that go along with it, with those compulsive behaviors, with that compulsive eating is so all about withdrawal. So it's about hiding the food, it's about hiding myself away from the world. It's definitely not an external thing. And then with restriction, that is I've come to I know it's just another form of the disease. And all of my self-worth relied on how successfully I was restricting, how quickly I was losing weight, and external comments about my success. But at no point in my life have I ever been able to maintain any sort of weight. So it started when I was very young. I was stealing money for food items at a very young age, and would lie about it. I would find any way really to be able to get food items that I wanted. I would steal money from teachers' purses, from my parents' purses, from anywhere really I could find money. And if I couldn't, then I would just steal it from the shops. I went on my first diet about the same time I found alcohol and drugs. And that was a highly restrictive diet. I remember the weight I was when I started that. I was 12 stone two in English coins. And I went down to 10 and a half stone. And I had a concave tummy and I was exercising to extremes. I was eating probably one item a day. One food item a day, and ended up, nearly fainting most days. But I think the fact is that I just had no idea really how to eat, no idea how to eat, no idea how to sustain healthy food intake for my body. So I knew I was powerless over food, and as I said, I tried to come in a lot of times. I can't actually see the timer, so if I could get, oh, I can, yeah. So I need to hurry up. My life had become unmanageable because I spend all my time thinking about food. There was no space for anyone else in my life apart from the food. And so I was neglecting my responsibilities to the family. I was angry at them. I wanted to hide from them. So it all came down really to fear. And having been in recovery for a long time, I knew that I was completely missing out from this relationship with my higher power, which I had had in the past, and which gave me such incredible peace of mind and serenity and transformed my life. And I knew that I could not be in contact with that higher power if I continued to eat the way I was eating. And so finally, having tried to come in probably about five or six times over a number of years, I joined and totally surrendered. I came actually to this very meeting and I heard someone share, and the share was so inspiring and exactly what I was looking for, that relationship with a higher power, that dependence on the 12 steps, and also I just completely resonated with their relationship with food. And at the beginning, I really had to do absolutely the opposite of what my mind was telling me. So I contacted that person immediately, who suggested I call them, and I spent about half an hour saying, thinking about writing back, going, "Oh, I can't today," blah blah blah, and then had to do the opposite and actually reach out. And that person agreed to be my sponsor, again, which was terrifying because then I had to do something about it. But I really was ready. And took me probably about 5 days. I went on a holiday with my husband, and then I got back and became abstinent the day I got back, and came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I think once I started to really hear the message in OA, and the message was freedom from obsession over food, but not just that, it was food neutrality. It's not a term I'd ever heard, food neutrality. And I suddenly started to see that I could be released from the relationship I had with food the same way that I had from other substances. And there was terminology I started to hear that made sense. Alcoholic foods, foods that trigger me, behaviors that trigger me, putting those together was really, really important. So I really did believe that that a 12-step program, being a power greater than myself, could restore me to sanity. And then made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him, her, it, they. And for me, that was a question of willingness and a willingness really just to take the next action. And the next action is to take the rest of the steps. So step three is, it's a very easy decision for me once I'd surrendered, because I really, really wanted to get what, I'd heard people had in this room. made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. I found this more difficult. Having been in other fellowships, I thought I'd done all the work. And what I started to find as I went through this process was that what was coming out was much deeper. It was much deeper than other stuff I'd done. It was like I was, beforehand, I'd been focusing on the external stuff in my life. And now this step was really taking me inside myself to a much deeper depth. And I've always felt that my higher power sits in my gut. So if I'm disturbed, it's that that's disturbed. And if I'm peaceful, it's, I mean, when I'm disturbed, when I'm not in recovery, when I'm not connected to my higher power, I feel as though there is this hole that can never be filled, literally. And I can eat and eat and eat and eat until I'm in pain and nothing's satisfying me. You know, there have been times where I will go to the, I mean, this happens, it used to happen all the time. I would go to the shop and I had no idea what was going to hit the spot. And so I would just buy everything, every type of food, just so that I knew that maybe one of them would do the trick and it would fill the hole or it would numb in the right way. And it wouldn't. But when I'm connected to my higher power and when I'm in recovery, it feels complete. It feels full. You know, there's no hole there. And what I've been amazed by is that simply by following this food plan, which I see, and I heard this in the meetings as well, I see this as part of my spiritual practice, surrendering to a food plan, which, and I love the Dignity of Choice leaflet, you know, that says you define your own abstinence. You know what foods trigger you. You know what eating behaviors trigger you and compulsive behaviors trigger you. You know, you're the one that needs to really be honest about what's going to, you know, what you need to do. And what I needed to do was I needed to surrender all choice over what food plan to follow. What I mean by that is that when I started looking at the different food plans on that Dignity of Choice, my brain immediately started thinking, ah, well, I know that if I remove that food group, then I'll probably lose weight really rapidly. So maybe I should choose that. Ah, you know, if I choose that one, I'll be able to snack throughout the day. So activating all of my trying to find ways around and have control. And the woman that I'd heard share, who became my sponsor, had said that she just picked the first one on the list. And I thought, I love that idea because then there's no choice. There's no decision making on my part. And actually, what happened was the first one on the list included all food groups, it included no snacking, and it was just sensible eating 3 times a day. And I went into detox for the first couple of weeks, and that was intense. But I was so blessed to have all of these voices going on in my head that I heard in the meetings. So I was going every day. My weight is none of my business, you know, was one of the most powerful ones. And I haven't weighed myself when I came in, and I haven't weighed myself since. And I've surrendered that to my higher power. You know, there have been times where I've really struggled with that and I've wanted to. But I know that by taking that control back and weighing myself, I'm going to then start judging myself on how well I'm doing or how badly I'm doing, as though the numbers on the scales dictate my worth, as opposed to my worth coming from how I'm maintaining a relationship with my higher power, what service I'm able to be to other people in the fellowship, and how I'm able to carry the message so far. So the food plan I found after the detox period, you know, where I obviously had that sort of difficulty going to sleep because of the hunger pains and things like that, has been a completely liberating. You know, I just don't have to think about food. And I've been amazed, absolutely amazed by what's happened to my body and my mind. I think the most striking thing has been that I have absolutely no idea how my body's going to respond to continued healthy eating. because the way that my body's changing is a way that's never changed before, because it's never changed through being given good, nutritious food on a regular basis. So I have absolutely no idea where I'm going to end up. And I have no idea what my body's going to do. But I found that there's so much less focus on that now. You know, it really isn't about that. I really didn't understand when I came in that it's not a diet club. Now I really understand that, but it is very much about recovery from the mental obsession and the spiritual malady. You know, the physical side of it is just one part of it. And once I've kind of got that, and I've got into the swing of it, then it's all about the other stuff. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. That's been really fascinating. I found huge compassion and understanding from my sponsor. I think even though I sponsor people in another fellowship, I forget that that my sponsor, you know, is human and has gone through all these things too, is not judging me, is purely passing on her experience, strength, and hope. But I feel very lucky that I found someone who I really relate to, and who seems to have gone through a lot of the same things that I've gone through with regard to food and thinking, and in particular, the thinking. And so there's huge compassion there, you know, and it's just been so valuable. And what she's been able to do, and what I really value in step five, is step four I can only do with my thinking. Step five is where I get it fact checked by another person who's also in relationship with their higher power. And that's when I really get to go that little bit deeper, and really get to the nub of the issue. And the part of step five I was really, step four I was really avoiding was looking at my relationship. And my part in my relationship, because I've had walls up for such a long time. You know, I've been married for 20 years, and I've had walls up for such a long time during that. And I think I just didn't want to recognize that I had a huge part to play, you know, in the quality of our relationship, because I have a lot of children. I have a lot of responsibilities to those children, who have neurological differences, just like I do. And it's, I definitely came from selfishness and self-centeredness, thinking I can't do any more. I can't give any more. And that was purely from a place of selfishness. And what was really beautiful was when I finally did the work and asked my higher power what she would have me be. It took about 24 hours for the answer to come, and it came in the morning when I woke up. And it was just soften. And that's quite, that was a, it was a challenging thing to hear, but it felt so, such a relief. And I thought, I can do that. I can soften. I can, you know, if that's how I bring down these barriers, I can do that. And just that word has brought me such comfort. Because when you're like this the whole time, holding on and protecting yourself, there's no softness. It's a minute, I see that, thank you. And when I soften and I stop fighting the world, it just allows love in. And it allows comfort in, and it allows two-way relationships to flourish. So, yeah, I'm really grateful to be where I am, you know, 4 months, 12 days, 133 days. But it's been a massive journey so far for me. I'm really grateful to have found Footsteps in particular, you know, to have found a group of people that I feel I can really be a part of and settle in. And yeah, I hope that helps someone. You know, I haven't got long, but for, as far as I'm concerned, a miracle's happened in my life, and I hope it continues. Thank you.